Bible this morning and turn to Matthew chapter number 28, the end of the Gospel of Matthew, first book in the New Testament, Matthew 28. And of course, if you know your Bible at all, you know Matthew 28 is about the resurrection. Amen. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to know we're going to preach on the resurrection this morning and thank God for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank God for the crucifixion, but thank God for the resurrection. Amen. We serve a risen Savior. Hallelujah. He arose. Thank God that He did. Matthew 28, verse number 1, the Bible says this, "In the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow, and for fear of him the keepers did shake and became as dead men." Excuse me. "And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee, and there shall you see him. And lo, I have told you. And they departed quickly from the sepulcher, and with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word." Now we're going to preach on this thought this morning, the reality of the resurrection. Amen. The reality of the resurrection. Let's pray. Father God, we are thankful for your word this morning. And God, I'm glad that the resurrection is real. I'm glad it's not a fairy tale. I'm glad it's not just some story. God, it's a reality. And God, I know you're alive because you're alive in my heart this morning. Amen. And God, I hear your voice. And God, I know you're real. And Father, I pray this morning, if there's one in this room that doesn't know you as Savior, they've never experienced the reality of the resurrection in their life, the power of the resurrection, may today be the day on Resurrection Sunday when they might come to know you as Lord and Savior. For the child of God, Lord, who's experienced the resurrection, may we rejoice in the things of God this morning. And may we live in that life that you've given us, and God, and walk in that light. Bless the word, guide my heart and lips, and Father, I'll give you the praise and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as you preach on this thought, you say, you're excited. You're right, I am. Amen. I'm excited. That the resurrection's exciting. Thank God that it is. This morning as we think of the reality of the resurrection, there's no doubt that it's real. But you know, there's always been skeptics when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. There were skeptics on the day that he arose, and there are skeptics to this day. And that doesn't take me surprise, and it doesn't bother me. If you'll just look back one page there in your Bible, in Matthew chapter number 27, notice what the skeptics said in Jesus Christ's day. In chapter 27 and verse 62, it says, "Now the next day that followed the day of the preparation, the chief priests and Pharisees came together unto Pilate, saying, Sir, we remember that that deceiver said while he was yet alive, after 3 days I will rise again. Command therefore that the sepulcher be made sure unto the third day, lest the disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead. So the last error shall be worse than the first. Pilate saith unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way, make it as sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing the stone and setting the watch." Notice what they did. Pilate is wise. Pilate's no dummy. Pilate talked to Jesus Christ. Pilate almost believed on him. And he said, hey, you go make it as sure as you can. Do the best you can. Because Jesus Christ said he's coming out of the grave. And you just do the best you can to keep him in there. So that's what they did. They set a watch. I'm glad they set a watch because the watch could testify of what would happen on the third day. Amen. So they set a watch. Notice what they said there. It says in verse 6 or 66, "So they went and made the sepulcher sure and sealing the stone." So they sealed the stone. They put the emblem on there. They said, hey, under penalty of death, if anybody breaks the seal, they'll be put to death. And they did their best. But let me tell you, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough. You read, and again in Matthew 28, verse number 11, look what it says there. "And now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city and showed them the chief priests all the things that were done. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers, saying, "Say ye his disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, we will persuade him and secure you." So they took money and did as they were taught. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews unto this day. Let me tell you, you can say it's not so. Can you imagine? The watch comes and testifies, "He's risen from the dead. He rose. The stone was rolled away." And what'd they say? They said, "Just say it's not so." Let me tell you something. You can say it's not snow, but that doesn't stop the power of the resurrection. Amen. That doesn't stop the power of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You think about that. This bunch today, they say it's not so. It didn't happen. Well, you know, that doesn't change anything. That will never change anything. You know, it's like people that deny the Holocaust say, "Well, the Holocaust never happened. Hitler never killed any Jews." Does that make it so? That's like saying, "Well, slavery never happened in America." Does that make it so? You can say anything you want, but that doesn't make it the truth. Thank God Jesus rose from the grave. And that shows you the condition of men's hearts. The Bible says when they know the truth and they won't receive it. You know, it's one thing to know the truth. It's another thing to receive the truth. These men were given the truth that day by their own men, by their own soldiers, and yet they still could not receive it. You think about that. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that would believe in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Yet shall he live. Peter, preaching on the day of Pentecost, said this, "Whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holding of it." Thank God we have a living Savior. We have a living Savior. Thank God. He said, "I am the resurrection." He said, I am alive. Behold, I liveth, and I shall never die. Thank God when it comes to the reality of the resurrection this morning. Now, I just want to consider a few things this morning as we preach. And the first thing I want to consider when it comes to the reality of the resurrection is I want to consider the witnesses. You know, there's a lot of witnesses when it comes to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Thank God the soldiers were witnesses. Thank God Mary was a witness. Thank God the disciples were a witness. If you take your Bible and look to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15 this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, the Bible tells us about these witnesses and who they were and what they saw. 1 Corinthians 15, the Bible says this now in verse number 1, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you received and wherein ye stand, by which also you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures." Now notice that he was seen of Cephas and then of the 12, and after he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain of this present hour, but some are fallen asleep. And after that he was seen of James and then of all the apostles. And last of all he was seen of me also as one born out of due time. Now you think about those witnesses. You see the saints. They saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The 12, the 500. Let me tell you something, that's a lot of witnesses. In a court of law, you only need one or two. Can you imagine the 12, Mary, the two Marys, and then the 500 all at once that saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ? But you know, I think about my personal testimony this morning when I was lost and on my way to hell and how I saw the Lord Jesus Christ by faith and how it changed my life. You see, I'm a testimony of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I talked to some boys this morning, picked them up, took them up to the gas station, and I said, "Hey, fellas," they said, "they're new in the area here." I said, "Good, you need to come to church so I can preach the devil out of you. Amen." They laughed, and I laughed, and we had a good time. And I said, "Let me tell you something." I said, I wasn't raised in church. I was raised without Jesus Christ. We were a bunch of hell raisers, and I'm telling you, but when I got saved December 15th, 1979, at 9 o'clock on that Saturday morning, I got saved on Saturday, was in church on Sunday, because God had changed my life. Amen. I had seen the resurrected Savior. Amen. The power of the resurrection, the witnesses of the saints, the witnesses of the Spirit of God. Thank God, the Spirit of God witnesses to the fact that Jesus Christ is the risen Savior. In 1 John chapter number 5, John the Revelator, the disciple whom Jesus loved, this is what he said concerning the Spirit. And verse number 5, he says, "Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? This is he that came not by water and blood, came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. It is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father and the Word and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. And if we see the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which ye have testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. And he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things that are written on you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life." So how do you know you're saved? Because the Holy Ghost is inside of me. Amen. You say, what's he do? He bears witness. Hallelujah. He bears witness with other believers. He bears witness with the preaching. He bears witness with the fellowship of the saints. He bears witness with the Word of God. You see, you hear his voice on the inside. You say, I never hear the voice of God. That's the problem. Right there's the problem. Because the witness isn't inside you. See, there are some witnesses. They saw the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, bears witness whether you're a child of God or not. Let me tell you something. If the fellowship of the saints and the preaching of his word and the ministry of the Holy Ghost lifts up your soul, then there's something inside of you. But you got nothing inside. You got a problem this morning. Thank God for the witness of the saints. Thank God for the witness of the Spirit. But what about the witness of the Scriptures? You know, the Scriptures bear witness. The Bible says that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. John chapter 5, and the Bible says this in verse 32, "There's another that bears witness of me, and I know the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye send to John, he bear witness of the truth, but I receive not testimony from man, but these things I say that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and you were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me, the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me, and ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom ye have sent ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me." See, we have the witness of the Scriptures. The witness of the Scriptures. And Brother Andrew told me a little joke the other day, but it was funny. I thought it was funny. And I thought about the Freedom From Religion Foundation. And you know, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, they're attacking Christianity. They're attacking the resurrection. They attack the Easter. They had a big billboards in Wisconsin that says, "Easter's a myth. It's not real. Jesus never rose from the grave. This shouldn't be a holiday." Well, I think we should give all them atheists a holiday. Matter of fact, they have a holiday. We have our holidays. They said, "What's the atheist holiday?" April Fool's Day. The Bible says the fool has said in his heart that there is no God. Hey, we ought to designate April Fool's Day, Atheist Day, and Agnostic Day. Hey, you're a fool. You got your day. Have at it. But don't take our day away. Amen. Because hallelujah, the resurrection's real. We got a witness. Amen. Thank God for the witnesses of those who were there. Thank God for the witness of the saints, for the witness of the Spirit, for the witness of the Scripture. Thank God for the witness of the scholars. You say, what about Josephus? Was a Jewish historian, and he witnessed the fact that Jesus Christ was real and the event was real. Thank God it's real this morning. It's real. The witnesses. But can you receive the witnesses? Can you receive the witnesses? Oh, not only the witnesses of the resurrection, but think about the worth of the resurrection. Look back in 1 Corinthians 15. You say, why is the resurrection so important? Let me tell you something. The resurrection is the foundation of everything we believe. It's the foundation of all Christianity. I mean, it's the pivotal point of everything that we understand concerning Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15, if you'll notice there, and verse number 12, the Bible says this very clearly concerning the importance of the resurrection. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there's no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then is Christ not risen? And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain, your faith is also vain. And yea, we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is Christ not raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, and ye are yet in your sins, and they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life only we have hope, we are of all men most miserable. You say, what's that mean? See, without the resurrection, there's no hope. See, we have hope. What's our hope? It's called the blessed hope. Titus 2:13 says, looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. If there's no resurrection, what are we waiting for? But there is a resurrection, and we have a blessed hope. Thank God we have a better hope this morning. Not just a blessed hope, but a better hope we have in Jesus Christ. We say, why? Because of where we're going when we die. We got somewhere to go. Have the hope that the world doesn't have. You think about, well, what if your hope is not in Jesus Christ? What is your hope in? You say, well, my hope is in the government. Remember, the government shoots their own, right? The government shoots their own. You know what politicians are? They are paid professional liars. All politicians. They're paid professional liars. In God we trust, in the government we bust. They say when a man from the government shows up telling he's going to help you, grab your gun. Because you can't trust in the government. There's no hope in the government. Amen. You say, well, what about my good deeds? Did you hear what Mayor Michael Bloomberg did this week? He gave $1 million to propagate gun control in America. And when he got done giving his $1 million, he wrote the check. He said, now I have secured myself a place in heaven. Man alive. I thought, are you kidding me? You think you can buy your way into heaven? I mean, is heaven for sale now that you can buy your way into heaven because you gave $1 million to help promote gun control? Aren't you glad Ephesians 2:8-9 says, for by grace you save through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Can you imagine when you came in the back door, if you were given a bill and said, hey, if you heaven, right? I mean, my goodness. They had that on the news on Friday. And he really thinks that he's going to go to heaven because he wrote a check for gun control. Boy, you talk about a deceived individual. There is no hope in yourself. That Bible says, that Bible is very clear that the wages of sin is death, and all of sin to come short of glory of God. And the Bible, I mean, my goodness. I mean, when Isaiah saw the Lord high and lift up, what did he say? He says, woe is me, for I am done. I am a man of unclean lips. Amen. You can't trust in your good deeds. You can't trust in the government. You can't trust in the gamut of religions that are out there. Well, I'm religious. So what? Man, there's a lot of religion out there. Religion's always been out there. Religion is man-made. You got to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Thank God for the hope that we have in Him. The worth of the resurrection, it gives me hope. You know, when you get downcast on the earth, what do you have? You have the blessed hope. Thank God you got that better hope. Thank God this isn't all there is to it. You know, brother was talking to Brother Bush. He said a lady said she wanted to be a vampire so she could live forever. Would you really want to live forever on this cursed earth? I mean, think about it. And all the stories about vampires, what do? They just want to die. because they don't want to live. And can you imagine God? You know, God was merciful that he brought death to man. Can you imagine going through this world forever and ever and ever? You ever wonder why Hindus are so unhappy? Because they believe in reincarnation. The thing never ends. Thank God for the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. One day we're leaving here. Thank God we are going to a better place. Built upon better promises. Thank God for that. He's the risen Savior, and thank God that he is. Thank God we have a better hope. Thank God we got a blessed hope. We got a brighter hope, and it's in Jesus Christ. My hope's not in the Dalai Lama or in Fat Buddha or any of them other things. Thank God I got happiness this morning. I laugh. Those three boys got in the car, and he said, the joy of the Lord is your strength, preacher. I said, you got that right. Because I was laughing, having a good time. I didn't even know the guys. But I said, you know what? There's a joy in being saved. I got happiness. I didn't have that when I was lost. Man, when I came to know Christ as my Savior, man, the thought of Jesus Christ puts a smile on my face. The thought of, hey, when I see any of you I know out in public somewhere, just seeing you puts a smile on my face. Why? Because we have a common bond and that happiness that we have in knowing the Savior is our Lord. Now, I know the saints are that way. Sinners aren't that way. I see some people, and the first thing they do is put their head down, and they want to go. They ain't happy to see the preacher. And I'm even happy to see them. You say, why? See, the worth of the resurrection, it gives you happiness. Thank God what we have in Christ. You know, the religions of the world, what they have no song. They have no smile. They have no semblance of joy. As a Christian, we have that. Paul said, I know whom I believe and persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Listen, I am happy in Jesus Christ. Song in my heart, a spring in my step, a smile on my face. There's within my heart a melody. Thank God. You see, you think about the worth of the resurrection, the witness of the resurrection. What about this one? You know there's a warning concerning the resurrection? If you look in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 20, look what it says. But now is Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruits of them that slept. For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die. You say, why do I got to die? Because your great-grandfather sinned against God. And the day he ate thereof, he died spiritually, and he died physically some 930 years later. Even so in Christ shall all be made alive. But every man in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward they that are Christ that is coming. And then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and all power. For he must reign till he put all enemies under his feet. And the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet, but when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he's accepted that which should put all things under him. Heaven is above our heads, and I'll tell you, there's a burning hell beneath our feet. And Jesus said, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Better think about that. See, there's a warning of the resurrection. If there was no resurrection, then you wouldn't have nothing to worry about. But there is a resurrection, and the King of Kings is coming, and he is going to set up his kingdom, and there is going to be a heaven, and there is going to be a hell. So there's a warning. You say, am I going to resurrect? You're going to resurrect. Everybody's going to resurrect. But some are going to resurrect to damnation, and some are going to resurrect to salvation. There are seven resurrections in the Bible. And the final resurrection is given in Revelation chapter number 20. Jesus Christ said, Paul preaching in Acts 17:30, he said, the times of ignorance God winked at, but now I have called it, commanded all men everywhere to repent, because he hath appointed a day in which judge the world in righteousness, whereof he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he raised him from the dead. Revelation 20 says this, "And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire, and this is the second death." And then it says, and the devil that deceived was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and false prophet are, and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. And I saw a great white throne, and him who sat on through from whose face the heaven and earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged. Those things were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast in the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whoso was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Let me tell you something. There's a warning concerning the resurrection. And if you die without Jesus Christ, you're going to go to that place called hell that God created for the devil and his angels. For those who refuse to believe. The Bible says, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." You know what the problem is? People refuse to believe. You know why the Pharisees wouldn't believe? They refused to believe. They said, "Even though we are confronted with the witnesses of the soldiers, we will not believe." Isn't that what Thomas said? Thomas said, "I will not believe unless I can put my finger into the print of the nails and thrust my fist into his side." People say, "I won't believe till I get there." You'll believe when you get there. 1 second in hell and you'll be a believer, but it'll be too late. Thomas was a believer when Jesus reappeared in the upper room. But you don't want to be like Thomas. Willingly ignorant, willingly blind. You say, "Well, I don't believe this morning." Ask yourself, what if it's true? You're going to stand before the God of all the earth. His name is Jesus Christ. There's a warning of the resurrection. Let me give you the last thing this morning. There's the wonder of the resurrection. Look at verse number 50. This is where the resurrection becomes real to you and I. Verse number 50 says, "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. But I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, this mortal must put on immortality. So when these corruptible shall put on incorruption, this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is the victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." You say, "What's the wonder of the resurrection?" Can I tell you? There's going to be a new body. There's going to be new clothes. There's going to be a new home. There's going to be a new life. We'll have a resurrection body that doesn't have blood in it. We'll have a resurrection body that'll never die. We'll have a robe of righteousness that God gives to the saints. We'll have a royal mansion to live in one day. Hallelujah. You've read Revelation 21. John said, "Behold, he maketh all things new." We'll have a continuing, renewing life with Jesus Christ. Whenever I preach at the funerals, the graveside, I like to sing this old Negro spiritual. I heard it in a church in Cincinnati, Ohio. It was a black church. And man, we shouted out. We had a great time. Them folks loved Jesus Christ. They had these nurses. They dressed up in nurse outfits and they come out. And they would sing, and they had this little chorus. "Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Ain't no grave gonna hold my body down. Gonna get up out of that ground when I hear that trumpet sound. 'Cause ain't no grave gonna hold my body down." They sang for about 30 minutes. The whole place was standing and shouting amen. You know why? Because ain't no grave going to hold my body down. The reality of the resurrection. You say, I don't believe in the resurrection. I feel sorry for you because you got nothing.
Amen. Yes, sir.
But I got something this morning.
Yes, sir.
Ain't no grave going to hold my body down. Hallelujah. Going to see the Lord. I told you, Brother Vic's mom passed away this last week. And she told her daughter, Joanne, right before she died, up there in the nursing home, no medicine of any kind. She said, Joanne, you see that? And then she closed her eyes and was with Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. You talk about the hope of the resurrection. She smiled and she went home to be with the Lord. I'll tell you, wait, that's how the saints die. That is not how sinners die. I've been at the bedside of sinners screaming. Let me tell you something. It ain't the same. They don't have what we got in Jesus Christ. I would to God everyone in this room could be at the bedside of a sinner dying without Jesus Christ as they scream with the flames and the torments of the damned upon their soul. But you know, some of you are so hard you wouldn't even believe that. You wouldn't even believe it. You're just like the Pharisees. Hey, let me give you some money and say it's not so. Say that didn't happen. Well, it did happen. And they damned their own souls is what they did. Is the resurrection real to you? I hope it is. Let's stand for prayer.